I want us to open our Bibles tonight in a very familiar passage of God's Word that the Lord has directed me to this evening afresh, and that is in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, I suppose one of the most familiar stories. We've been looking at life-changing experiences in these Sabbath evening services, and we're going to talk about this evening and look at a life-changing experience, a story that the Savior spoke about, commencing to read at verse number 11. We'll just read a few verses because of time. Verse number 11, chapter 15. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough, and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Keep our Bibles open there, and we pray that God richly bless the ministry of his precious word. I suppose Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and especially this story here of what we know as the prodigal son, is one of the most known messages, illustrations that the Lord Jesus used in his ministry. He was challenging the Pharisees and the scribes as they murmured against the Savior receiving the publicans and the sinners. Now, we call this the prodigal son, although you don't read that there in this passage of God's Word. You don't read that word. The word prodigal means wasteful. And that's exactly why it's known as the prodigal son, because he wasted all. And yet, my friends, this is only part of the story. And I trust that you'll spend time to look at the whole story and look at all the personalities, because you'll find that there are three personalities in the story. We think of the father. It says there in verse number 11, a certain man had two sons. There's the three personalities. A certain man had two sons. Now, of course, there's no mention of the mother here. It is believed that the mother had died, whether it was in childbirth or whether she died with a broken heart because her boy was in the far country. We don't know. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't tell us that part of the story. But we have a father here, a father who's left with two boys. And we find this story is about relationship within a family circle. Now, it's evident here there's a loving father, because this is how it is, and that is how it ought to be. But there is another relationship that's in this story, and it is two brothers. And then, to be honest, the two brothers in the story, there's not much love between them. You'll read that in the story. Two brothers, and the relationship has been fractured, or the relationship has been broken down. Now, of course, we're not going into that tonight, but I trust that you'll spend time in looking at the three personalities, not just the one, and get the whole story here that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. But I want us to study tonight the prodigal son, the younger of those two boys. Now, this is an amazing story, and it can be applied to backsliders. Because here's a boy that once was at the father's table, enjoying all the blessing at the father's table. He goes away from home, he wanders in bypath meadows, and then he comes home and enjoys the father's table again. But friend, to be honest, if you look at the story, whilst there is a powerful illustration there and a story there, you will find that the context of the story is about things that were lost. Things that were lost. We have the lost sheep. We have the lost coin.
and we have the lost son. And therefore, I believe that the real purpose of this is indeed in the context of lost things and how that the lost things became found. Now, there are a number of things I want us to notice, and because of time, I want to quickly go through them. First of all, I want us to notice at a solemn demand, verse number 12. It says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, here's the two words, give me. Give me. Now, up to this moment, friend, here's a boy that's enjoying the blessing of home. He's enjoying the blessing of the father's table and the father's bounty and all the benefits of home. I do not know, because the Bible doesn't tell me, but friend, discontent came into the heart of this young fellow. He was dissatisfied. In actual fact, there was a rebellion in his heart. And nothing that the father could give him, as far as being at home was concerned, was going to satisfy this lad anymore. Of course, that's true of us. God has loaded us with blessings every day. God has blessed us mentally and physically. God has loaded you and I with blessings. And yet, is it not true that in many of a heart there comes a hankering and a yearning after greater sin? Because the devil creates in our hearts that dissatisfaction. We're not as satisfied anymore. And many a young lad and many a young lassie has come to that place because no matter what is given to them at home, they have lost, they've lost the satisfaction. There's a discontent. In honest reality, there's a rebellion. There's a rebellion against home. And you'll notice the heart of this rebellion is in one word. It is me. Me. And that's what it's all about for this young fella. He says, give me. And friend, that sums up the way that this lad wanted to live. He wanted to live the me life. In other words, his priority was himself. Nothing but himself. Now, he said to his father, he says, give me the portion of goods which falleth to me. Now, let me tell you, legally, there was nothing wrong in what the lad actually asked legally. But his demand showed an absolute disrespect for his father. He got to the place he didn't care. He was so filled with himself, friend, he didn't care about anybody else. He didn't care about his father. He didn't care how his demand that day, putting his finger under his father's nose and saying, Father, you give me. He didn't care how his father was affected. He didn't care how the brother was affected. He didn't care about anybody else because he was filled with me. And let me tell you, my friend, that is as something that digs the grave of many a heart, and it'll break the heart. Whenever you're filled with me, it'll break your heart sometime or other. I want you to know it was a cruel demand. It was a cruel demand. Because what was the boy saying when he said, Father, you give me the portion of goods which cometh to me? In reality, he was saying this. He says, Father, I want you dead. In actual fact, Father, you are living too long for me, and I can't wait until you die. That's actually what those words mean. I can't wait until you die, so give me it now. It was a cruel thing. He wished that his father was dead. Now, let me tell you, my friend, I, in my years of life and working in the community and witnessing many things, I've seen this happening. I've seen whenever boys lived or wished their father dead because he was too long around. And my, they just wish that he would sort of get out of the road and give it to them. Give me. It was not only cruel, it was cheeky. It was a cheeky demand. Give me. He demanded almost in a legal fashion. In other words, what's common today, my rights. You give me my rights. You see, legally, this boy had a right that when his father died, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 17, will tell us about it. This boy, there were two brothers. Now, he was a younger son, and legally, he was entitled to one-third of his father's estate at his father's death. His brother was entitled to two. He was the older brother, and he was entitled, according to the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 21, he was entitled to the double portion. The double portion. But what the boy was saying to his father was this. He was saying, Father, give me it now. Give me it right now, Father. You give me it now. And friend, that was the very solemn demand which this boy made. Now, secondly, I want you to notice his strident departure. Now, the Bible tells us, before we move there, that the Father divided unto them his living. Now, some people criticize this father, and in one idea you would say, why didn't that father stand up and say, son, listen, it will be legally yours when I'm dead. And if you can't wait on it, then go, but you're not getting it now. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And friend, people criticize this father, and they say this father was too lenient on his son. He might have rebuked him. But let me tell you, my friend, as I thought about this deeper, and as I thought about it, it says the father divided unto him, or unto them rather, because he had two boys. He did it then for the two sons. And it says he divided unto them his living. Now there's an interesting law which comes into that, and unfortunately time doesn't allow me to spend in it tonight. There's a tremendous law in this. In actual fact, even though the father divided it unto him, how that the father still had the rights, certain rights in the midst of it all. But we haven't time. We'll maybe come back to that on another occasion. But what I want to point out to you is this. Friend, let me tell you, sometimes like this father, the father knew he had lost the son. And the father divided that day his living. And sometimes God gives the sinner what he desires. Sometimes, you know, the Bible tells us, in the book of Romans chapter 20, or chapter 1, in verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28, it says, and God give them up, or God give them over. In other words, God, sometimes, friend, God knows that the spoiled heart can only be cured by bitter experiences of life. He knew there was no way to win this boy. He looked into the eyes of his son. He knew his son was in a far country already. And friend, let me tell you, the Bible says he divided. And so it is when God looks into the eyes of many a sinner. Let me tell you, God knows, friend, your heart. And God looks into the eyes of the sinner, and sometimes God gives a person over to their folly. And God knows the sinner will only discover by painful experience and painful lessons his real foolishness. You see, it is not the peril of a father spoiling his child here that is the real lesson. It's the peril of our Heavenly Father giving the sinner what he wants, but he gives it as a form of judgment. And friend, let me tell you, you're in a dangerous position when God gives you what you want and says, well, listen, there, take it. You want your sin, take it. But remember this, I'm not mocked. I'm not mocked. You'll pay the price. You'll pay the price of your sin. It may seem, you see, that many a person, whenever they go out into their sin, friend, and they seem to be having a great time, and they may for a time have that. But I want to tell you, sinners, you're not getting away with your sin. Don't you ever think that whenever it seems to be that there's nothing stopping you, you seem to be getting away with it. But remember, you may be prospering in it, but remember this, friend. It says in the book of Galatians, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't you be deceived by that. Because remember, God's not mocked. God is not mocked. And so we see his strident departure here. You see, after the son got the third of his father's estate, he takes everything. It says not many days after. Not many days after, verse 13, the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country. In other words, he didn't stay long. He didn't stay long. Now, let me tell you how long he did stay, of course. He stayed as long until he got the father's inheritance. He stuck around to then. You see, friend, let's be honest. This boy couldn't have paid his way himself. He hadn't the money. His pocket was empty. He couldn't hit the road and get on his own. He needed his father's estate to do it. And so therefore, whenever he got it, and his pocket was full, it was just full steam ahead. Now, where did he go to? The Bible says he made his journey into a far country. A far country. Now, friend, let me tell you what that simply means is this. He got as far away from his father as he possibly could. He took his journey and got away from home as far as he could make it. He wouldn't hear his father anymore. He wouldn't hear his father's prayers. He wouldn't hear his father's pleadings. No, no. He got as far away from his father as he possibly could get. And it was a far country where he himself was unknown. And he could sow his wild oats and sow the seeds of sin. And there were no restrictions. In other words, his lifestyle was his own. You see, when he was at home, father would seek to stop him. But there's nothing to stop him anymore. He went as far away as he possibly could go. And friend, that's like the sinner. The sinner wants to live as if there was no heavenly father at all. As if God didn't exist. And you know what they do, friend? Whenever rebellion gets into the heart of a young man, I'll tell you, not only does he leave his home quite often, but listen, quite often he leaves church too. And he leaves the listening to God's word. And he leaves the house of the Lord. And he leaves his godly parents. And he leaves the influence. And he leaves the gospel preaching. In other words, gets away as far as possible. That's the far country. Maybe there's somebody in this meeting tonight, friend. And listen, you know this story. You know the story that I'm talking about. Because listen, even in your very heart sitting, maybe it's a young person here tonight. And there's a yearning in your heart to get as far away as you possibly can. Your mom and dad says, come to the meetings. And you could run as far as you could, but you can't because you need them until you get released from. And someday you say to yourself, someday, you know, I'll get into the far country. Someday I'll walk away. And no longer under their influence and no longer under their restrictions. Yes, you remember before you do it, friend. Remember Luke 15. Don't forget the story. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has told it. Now, friend, thirdly, notice his sinful desires. You see, he didn't want the inheritance to help others. He didn't want this money to be a good citizen. He didn't want to give some of it to noble causes. No, no. He just wanted it for his sinful lusts. The Bible calls it, he spent it in riotous living. Now, the word there can mean a life totally given over to sinfulness and evil. In other words, he has left behind all the restrictions of home. And he's living to gratify every whim and every desire that he has in his own heart. And he's going to enjoy the pleasures of life. Pleasures of life. Now listen, I'm not fool enough to stand on this pulpit and say there's no pleasures in sin. Friend, there are pleasures in sin. And I can tell you this, yes, the world can make you laugh. And yes, as far as the world is concerned, you can have a good time in the world. But I want to tell you this. Moses regarded it well when it's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 that rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he was willing to take a stand and do the right thing in the sight of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. Because remember this, they're only for a season. And remember this, my dear friend, you see the leaves on the tree in the springtime and they look lovely, but remember this, the leaves will fall. And the tree will be bare. And there'll come a day whenever the leaves will fall of your tree. And you think that you've got everything the world has got to offer. And the Bible says the marks of the last day is this. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. But Proverbs says this. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loves pleasure shall be a poor man. The Bible tells us what happened to this young lad. With all his sinful desires, it summed it up in this word. Verse number 13. And there he wasted. He wasted his substance in riotous living. The word there means to scatter abroad. It means to squander. And that's what the boy did, friend. Soon he scattered his father's hard-earned money on his own pursuits. Now you tell me, well, what did he do? What is it? What did he do that says he wasted a substance? Well, the Bible tells us what he did. Go to verse number 30. And it says this, and as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. With harlots. Thou was killed for him, the fatted calf. So what did he do, friend? What way did he squander his life? With harlots. A wicked woman who solicited men to do their evil deeds. And friend, whenever you read the word of God concerning that, there's nothing pretty in the picture that God gives. Turn just back for a moment in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter number 5, and this is what the Holy Ghost says. Proverbs 5 and verse number 5. It says, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold in hell. That's what the Holy Ghost says. That's what the harlot will do. Look at chapter 7. Proverbs 7. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 27. It says, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's where she'll take you. Take you to hell. Take you to hell. Her house is the way to hell. Ah, you say, but they're laughing. Yes, the pleasures of sin for a season. But I'll tell you this, there'll come a day when the laughter's over. And God says something else, as he did to Belshazzar. He says, the party's over. The party's over. God calls you out to stand before him. Turn to Proverbs 9. Look at verse number 18. But he knoweth not. He knoweth not that the dead are there. And that her guests, I think it's solemn, her guests are in the depths of hell. That's where her guests are. And yet, my friend, little did this boy know, whenever he was leaving home, that that's how he was going to waste his life. All that God had given to him, he was going to waste it all. And if he kept on going that way, he would go to hell. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3, it says, whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. And that's what this boy did. That's what this boy did. His sinful desires. And then fourthly, notice, his silver depleted. Verse number 14. And when he had spent all. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He's going to learn a hard lesson. Very sad lesson, friend. Sin's a hard taskmaster. The consequences of a sin. He began to be in want. Now the word there means behind. Falling behind in payment. Falling behind in payment. In other words, that's what happened to him. He started to fall behind because his pocket was soon empty. And then the Bible tells us something happens. Not only had he spent all, but there arose a mighty famine. The famine came. Notice when it happened. It happened when he had spent all. Now, friend, to be honest, if there's a famine, even if you have plenty, sometimes it's hard to get. Even when you have money. But this boy had nothing. He had nothing to get it with. Any wee bit that there was left now to get. And so it happened. It happened at the worst time. Isn't it amazing? Once an heir. He was an heir to a fortune. And now he's in a famine. Pocket's empty. Tell you something else, friend. Not only is the pocket empty, the stomach's empty. He's down in the depths now. Notice where it happened. It says this. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. In that land. Where was the land? The far country. The place of happiness. The place the devil said to him, come on, boy, get up. Leave the restrictions of your home and leave your family and leave all those the influences behind and get into the far country. Boy, you'll have it all made. You'll really enjoy it. You'll have a great time. He promised happiness. He promised liberty. He promised satisfaction. Your heart's desire. That's where the famine was. Let me tell you this. See, at home with the father, there was still plenty on the table. But the land of promise that he went to, there's nothing. Let me tell you, friend, listen, it is very possible that you could have plenty in your pocket and still be empty in your heart. And there's many a lad and there's many a lassie that may have plenty to spend, but let me tell you this, there's nothing they spend it on will really bring them satisfaction, because they'll waste themselves and their lives in a riotous living. Now, there was a famine there in that land. I read this, people who party all night don't produce well during the day. And you see, he was living among people that partied all night. And friend, listen, they didn't plant the crops. Hadn't time to do it. They're partying. They didn't take care of any of the crops were in, because why? They were partying. They were living it up. And the harvest was inadequate. The place where the grass looked greener is now withered. And notice what had happened. The Bible puts it like this. There arose a mighty famine. A mighty famine. Oh, the price the sinner has to pay. And friends, look, here's a boy that once had plenty. He's broke. He's alone. He's miles from home. Away from the father who loved him. And the life that once was wine, woman, and song is now weeping, worry, and sorrow. You see, God's not mocked. God's not mocked. And here we find his life's turned upside down. I'm trying to be honest. There's a famine. And there's nobody with him anymore. The Bible tells us no man give on to him. Nobody wanted him. Oh yes, they wanted him when he had plenty in the pocket. And friends, you see, when you have plenty to give, you'll have plenty of friends. When you haven't, you'll find out who they really are. Music has stopped. Friends have gone. Money's wasted. The truth is this. His sin robbed him of everything. Took him down. Tell you how far he could down. What's he going to do? What will he do himself? Surely the lad will get fed up with the far country. Surely the boy will say to himself, well, listen, it's time I went home. Not yet. Oh, not yet. Not yet. Hasn't gone. You see, he's stubborn. He's stubborn. He left in rebellion, and boy, the old dirty rebellion's still in him. He's as stubborn as hell. And the Bible says this. This is what he did. Look at verse 15. He went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the word joined means glued to something or to be cemented. And then, to be honest, this is hard slave now. He goes down to the depths. He's a lowly bond man. And in his hunger, no man give him anything. Oh, well, maybe the master, his new master will be thoughtful. Let me tell you this, friend. His master had no mercy. Because the Bible tells us this. That he sent him, verse 15, into his fields to feed swine. and for a Jew, that was degrading him to feed this way. He's hungry. He's broken, and then he looks as he feeds the swine. Friend, here's how far the boy went. He envied the very swine their food. And he longed for even to take the food of the swine in the far country. He cried, verse 17, I perish with hunger. Very quickly, notice the stirring deliberations. The Bible tells us, verse 17, and when he came to himself. You see, up until this moment, this boy doesn't see the madness of his life. He just doesn't see it. You see, whenever he was out there in the country, far country, you see, whenever he went there, he was a great fella. He was the head of the ball. The girls were all around him. His pocket was full. Now they have gone. Now the laughter's over. Now the fun's passed. Now the friends have disappeared. And the fun's are no more. And one day he sits down. And for the first time, the fog lifts. You know what he thought to himself? What a fool. What a fool I've been. And that's what he thought about, friend. He thought of home. He thought about my father's servants. They were enjoying bread. And he was perishing with hunger. You see, you may enjoy your sin for a time. But friend, let me tell you, it'll fail you. And it'll leave you a fool. Thank God, he resolved in his heart, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Remember at the start of the story. Give me. Not give me now. It's make me. And do you notice something happened in this story, friend? This lad's no longer talking about his rights. He doesn't come back and say, well, you know, Dad, I'm still your son and I still have rights. No, no. He's given up all his rights. And for the first time, he faces his responsibilities. That's the difference. And friend, we live in a society and it's cursed with people talking about their rights and forgetting responsibilities. Those two go together. Because rights bring responsibilities. And that's whether it's a lad in the home or a lassie in the family or the parents in the home either. The rights were passed. It's no longer give me, it's make me. And he was willing totally to give up his rights. And he says, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned. And friend, tonight before God, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to come to that place too. I've sinned. Isn't it good that God doesn't give you your desserts, or me my desserts? Because let me tell you, friend, if God had given us our desserts, we'd be in hell tonight, or on our way to it. But God gives us grace instead. Riches at Christ's expense. Now he heads home. I've got to finish. He heads home. And as he heads home, friend, he doesn't know what kind of reception. But he's determined. I'm going. I'm going home. I'm tired of my sin. And my straying, Lord. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And friend, let me tell you, if you're not tired of your sin, you'll still continue on. You fed up with your sin. Do you see your sin as God sees it? Do you see the hellishness of it? Do you see the awfulness of it? Do you see where it's taking you to? And friend, let me tell you, don't fool yourself. You could be there tonight. Because don't expect that it's somebody else's name's always in the column of death. It could be yours or mine. So don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. Live in reality. Come into the real world. I tell you, it's not easy to humble yourself. It wasn't easy for this boy to humble himself and say, Father, I've sinned. It wasn't easy. It was right. It's right. The last thought is this. His stirring deliverance. He left his father's presence. But he never left his father's prayers. See, how do I know? The father was standing waiting for him. The Bible says when he was a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion on him. The longing of the father for his son's return is seen in the father looking for him. The father didn't wait for him to get home. He ran to meet him. The Bible says he kissed him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And that means he kissed him again and again and again and again and again. The kiss of reconciliation. The kiss of affection. The kiss of forgiveness. The kiss of peace. Oh, he had old dirty rags on him. But he's home now. He's not sitting at his father's table in dirty rags, friend. No, no. The father says, get the best robe. Put it on. Take a ring. Put it in his finger. And take those sandals and put them on his feet. All of those things, friend, look at them. The dirty rags were removed. And he sat down clean, purity. The ring, acknowledging his privilege, the sign of sonship. The shoes or sandals, his position. He was now in a proper standing. You see, slaves went barefoot. Sons were the sandals. But that wasn't all. Kill the fatted calf. To kill the fatted calf, friend, the blood was shed. The blood was shed. You see, he couldn't enjoy the sustenance at the father's table without the fatted calf. In actual fact, fatted calves were kept, Leviticus 23, were kept for special occasions, special ceremonies such as the Day of Atonement.
this was a great day. And then there was joy and gladness. The boy was home. Are you in the far country tonight? The Father's waiting for you. But let me tell you, my friend, you, like that boy, you've got to leave your sin. You've got to turn your back on it. You've got to repent and turn to God. And when you turn to God, let me tell you, you'll find forgiveness. You'll find righteous robes. You'll find sonship. You'll find that you're in the proper standing before Him. You'll find that He'll feed you on the finest of the table. If you're in the far country tonight, there's no better time to leave it than now, with his eye closed. You see, God knows what it will take to break your heart. Maybe there's some rebellious son or daughter. Maybe some rebellious father and mother. And friend, God's got to break you. There's a man in Georgia, in the United States of America. Something happened, but he turned his back in church and he vowed he'd never be back through the door again. Refused to ever go. He had a lovely little boy. He was 6 years of age and he begged his father to go to church. But his father refused. In actual fact, there were times he verbally abused his son when he asked him to go to the house of God. One Sunday morning, as the father read the paper on the porch of the home, his son came in and said, "Daddy, will you go to church with me?" The father cursed his son, told him never again to say those words in his presence. Little boy was waiting on mommy to go to church, and he went out into the garden. There's a little ball there, and he played with the ball and was tossing it around into the air. And after a time, he dropped the ball and it rolled out onto the highway. The wee boy ran after it. The car was speeding down the road and hit the little boy. Father was sitting there in the porch. The father ran, having witnessed the accident. He ran immediately. He got his little boy and he picked him up. Realized that his little boy was just about to die. Before he died, the little boy said these words, "Daddy, will you go to church with me now?" Will you go to church with me now? Let me tell you, friend, that broken-hearted father left his son down and he fell on his knees before God and he cried on God to save him. And he found God's forgiveness. But here's a thought. Yes, he came to church, but it cost him his son. Tell me, what is it going to take for God to break some of you? You've sat for years. You've heard the loving call of God inviting you to come to be saved. What will your sin cost you? I'll tell you what your sin cost God. His son. And yet you're holding on to it. myself. Oh, let go tonight. Let go of his way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence. We thank thee, our God, that thou art a loving God. We thank thee, Lord, that you love the sinner. You're following after those that are still in rebellion and still in their sin. And tonight again, you're calling them to repentance and salvation. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed, friend. Tell me, what will you do with Jesus? Are you going to turn your back on him again? Are you going to walk out in rebellion and say, I'm not now? God can break you. What cost? O Lamb of God, I come. Our sister's going to play one little verse. We're not going to sing anything, but as every head is bowed and eyes closed, listen, if there's someone in this gathering, you say, preacher, I need a Savior. Point me to the Lord. O Lamb of God, I come. Maybe a backslider. I'm going to tell the Lord, I'm coming home. I wasted many precious years. Lord, I'm coming home. As we keep our heads bowed, if there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl, and you say, preacher, point me to Jesus or point me back to the Lord, as our sister plays that little verse. Come on, tell the Lord tonight. Tell the Lord that you're coming to him. I don't go on another night in your sin. Is there one right now? Would you slip that hand above your head that I'll see it, friend? Please, I beg you in God's name. Don't go on anymore. Don't turn your back on God anymore. Is there someone, O Lamb of God? I come. I've been in the minister's room. Brother McKay and myself would be delighted to speak to you concerning eternal things. Please don't go away. Slip around the side of the building. Come through the door at the front, but don't go away without Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Save the lost and restore the fallen, and bless your people in Jesus' precious name. Amen.